Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Squeak. My name's Luke Crofts.
I'm James Hargreaves.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, good week.
Very well. Yeah. Yeah, good. What did you? You've not really done much over the weekend, though, have you?
No. I've had a nice, relaxing weekend in.
Oh, that sounds nice. Well, I've done my normal thing where boozer Friday, Saturday, and then feel terrible on Sunday. But, you know, that's what the weekends are
great
for.
Great preparation for the show, that, Luke. Well done.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't go mad, so I'm okay. Must obviously give a huge thank you to Dale Lefebvre, who guested last week for us.
Yeah.
Great guy. You'd not met him before, had you?
I'd not met him before. No. He's a very eccentric fella, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy, Dale.
I particularly enjoyed his story about the herons.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Ecclesall Woods one blew me away. Yeah, lovely. No, thanks, Dale, for coming in. And, of course, it was Record Store Day yesterday, biggest day of the year if you're into vinyl stuff. Paul was playing pretty much all of his stuff that he bought yesterday. That's Paul Sellers, who's just left us.
Yes, it's otherwise known as Major Record Label Cartel Day.
Yeah, well, we were just saying there, a woman bought 73 records and we're like, well, what's she going to do with them? Is she going to keep them all or is she going to sell them?
I wonder if they're on eBay this morning.
Yeah, well, you were saying that's what happened, sort of by 9 o'clock they were all listed on eBay.
It's just a parody of itself now, Record Store Day. It used to be the independent labels supporting independent retailers with limited independent releases, and record labels saw this, jumped on the bandwagon, and this year there's been, what, 560-odd releases of stuff like reissues of stuff from the 60s and stuff like that. People, if you're a fan, you're going to buy, but people aren't that interested in them.
No. More positive James segment next week. No, what I wanted to talk to you about, though, have you ever read a book and thought, oh, this would be great on telly, either in a film or in a series?
Yes.
Well, it's happened to me, and I'm really happy about it. Right. I mean, I'm not really into Stephen King. I'm not really into horror and all that.
Yes.
But he brought a book out a few years ago called
11-23-62. 11-22-63. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, so you've heard of it. Obviously, it centres around the assassination of JFK.
Indeed.
And the main character in the book finds a way of going back to 1958 and decides to try and stop JFK from getting shot. And they've adapted it into a TV series.
Yeah.
And it's on Fox for us.
It is indeed.
And it's on, if you're listening in America, it's on Hulu. I don't know if you say that, if that's how it's
said. Yeah, Hulu.
It's a bit like a Netflix thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Netflix exclusive, a Hulu exclusive. I found it, well, I saw it listed. My mum said, oh, it's on Fox. And I found it listed. And I was like, right, I'm going to watch this. And I've watched four now. And I just absolutely love it.
I've seen the first one. And it is genuinely brilliant.
It is great. And everything, I mean, they've changed little bits about it, obviously, to adapt it to the screen, but it's really well adapted. J.J. Abrams is one of the producers as well. Obviously, Stephen King's on board.
Did you know the story behind him getting the rights?
No, I don't, actually.
He was locked in a bidding war for the rights to make the miniseries with James Franco.
Franco. He's one of the producers as well.
Well, James Franco wanted it so bad, they were locked in a bidding war against each other. Then J.J. Abrams won it, and James Franco wrote on the Vice website that he helped create, he wrote a whole kind of scathing thing of how I didn't get the rights to this, it's my favourite book ever, I really wanted it. And then said, at least J.J. Abrams has got it, and it's in decent hands kind of thing. And then J.J. Abrams approached James Franco to do the part.
Well, I'm pleased about that, because they're obviously both passionate about the book, so they're going to want to make it as good as they can. But yeah, it's just brilliant. If you haven't read the book, I'd encourage you to read it. But I mean, we're both into sort of like sci-fi and time travel and all that, and the whole thing around JFK is really fascinating, anyway, isn't it? Because you don't really know.
So ironic, it's really time travel, because that's JFK was murdered on the day that Doctor Who was supposed to start on the BBC for the very first episode.
Yeah, I remember that,
and it got delayed by a day. because of the assassination.
Yeah, and nobody really watched the first one, did they?
No.
Because of,
that's right.
Because of that, yeah. That date is quite synonymous around lots of similar programmes as well. Yeah. So yeah, I deliberately didn't mention it on the way in because I thought, I wonder if James has seen it anywhere. But yeah, very, very good. So I'm looking forward to the rest of that. I mean, Americans say it's a miniseries.
Yeah.
It's what we'd call a normal series.
Yeah, absolutely. Say,
the first episode was like 1 hour and 20, so that's like bordering on film length anyway. Yeah. And then the rest are sort of like 53 minutes long or something.
Yeah.
Ish. 53-ish minutes. But yeah, very good. Very good.
Who's counting?
Me. Yeah, I can't get enough for it. I think it's really, really good. Really good.
Yeah, it is indeed. Well worth watching.
So, I mean, moving on to a completely different subject. Most of the news stories are musically linked today. So that's good. That's a first. Apart from this one. You know Wikipedia, obviously, it's a bit questionable, the sources behind it.
Yeah.
Because obviously you can go on and edit it yourself. Well, a 12-year-old lad from Australia put himself on Wikipedia as the Prime Minister. and nobody spotted it for 2 days.
Brilliant.
So anybody wanting to learn about Australian politics from abroad will have thought that this guy was, or this lad was the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Have you ever edited anything on Wikipedia?
I have done in the past, yeah. Mostly for just amusement's sake.
Yeah.
When I was younger and sillier.
Yeah, well, I once saw, bits I will really, because the snooker World Championship snooker's just started this weekend. And there was one that somebody had edited around a match with Terry Griffiths and something, and he was saying, oh, you know, it's due to finish on Monday. And, you know, they just completely ruined the whole article. So you can't always rely on everything you hear on Wikipedia, or read, should I say, on Wikipedia. Yeah.
No, of course not.
Anyway, should we have a song to start off with?
Yes, yes.
How do we say it?
You know how it's nice and sunny outside. It's a nice day. It's beer garden kind of weather.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
It's been horrible all week.
And I thought, you know, just to match up to that day, what we would have is a song just for you, Luke. It's a song about a sad clown and death.
Is this in relation to a show a couple of weeks ago where we talked about death constantly?
Yeah, so this is actually Unfair, which is Bomar and Muzz from Fairground Accidents.
Oh, yeah.
They've got together. They're doing like a limited album. It's a really interesting kind of concept they're doing is they've just got together for one moon cycle and they're releasing this album together. They're only printing 100 physical copies of the album. They're only doing one gig as this Unfair. And, yeah, this is the single that they're releasing off it. It's called Wayfaring Stranger.
Oh, lovely. Okay, well, here it is. You're listening to The Squeak on 93.2. I'm getting in touch on Twitter. We are at The Squeak. And this is Unfair.
Yeah.
if you want to see more of them. They're really good as Fairground Accidents. They've got a really big following. You can go and see them perform that album called Absent Fervour at the Washington on the 29th of April.
Yeah.
not your cup of tea, Luke.
Oh, not the most uplifting, was it?
I thought we'd get that out of the way early and pick things up as we go along.
What have we got coming up? Paul Fletcher and Please Don't Hate Yourself. Oh my goodness.
It's an interesting concept. I like the concept of it. And yeah, if you ever see those guys live as Fairground Accidents, you would understand the whole kind of premise of that kind of song that they do.
I thought you were going to say you might not come out. Yeah, thanks for sending that in. If you want to send in more upbeat music, or any music indeed, please get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. I've just seen a headline which wasn't in my news stories, and I'm just going to read the headline. Hermaphrodite kitten looks for new home.
Yeah, that's an headline and a half.
Yeah, a kitten handed into a welfare charity has caused a stir after vets discovered it's actually a hermaphrodite. It's only a 9-week-old kitten. It's called Bellini.
Called what?
Bellini.
Bellini,
like the drink.
Yeah, okay.
So it's looking for a new home. It looks very cute. It looks a bit like... Do you know... it looks a bit like... Well, it's just a black cat.
It looks like a black cat, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say it looks like Carl Maloney's cats, but then again, they look like a lot of other black cats as well. I don't know what I'm on about.
Don't be racist, Luke. They don't all look the same.
No, I suppose they don't. But they do, though. Okay. Cats.
Cats. We're talking cats.
Anyway, I'm just seeing if you can get in touch with the vet to give the kitten a home. You can, yeah, you can ring. Oh, it's in St. Helens, though, so it's a bit far away if you're listening in Sheffield.
It's not that far. Just a short car journey away.
Mm.
I'm sure that if it's on the internet, someone will have got it by now. But there are lots of cats. In fact, the cat shelter in Sheffield had an appeal the other week, didn't they? That there were too many cats, so they couldn't take any more in, so they wanted people to come and take the cats.
Yeah. Well, there's another kitten, which is, I think, a sibling of Bellini, called Daiquiri. So I'm guessing the owners, previous owners, may have been alcoholics.
Yeah.
Or cocktail lovers.
It's one of those where you take the cat and you go, oh yeah, look at little Daiquiri here. Then as soon as you get outside, you're like, right, changing the name.
Yeah. Well, the cats don't know any difference, is it? It's like Carl Maloney's got two male cats and one's called Rita.
Yeah.
Although Rita is very stressed and I think it's because she's confused. He's confused. See, I'm confused.
Or stressed because it has to put up with Carl Maloney.
Carlton Maloney, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I just thought I'd share that with the listener.
That's an interesting headline that you just read on Twitter.
Yeah, well, we follow all the news websites, and that's the best one that we've seen, that I've seen anyway.
Yeah,
Glastonbury's coming up, James.
It is indeed. The reserve tickets went on sale today, I believe.
Yeah, and two of your favourites are headlining.
Woohoo!
Namely, Muse and Adele.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I bet you can't wait. Well, interestingly, I mean, I don't mind Muse. They're not my favourite, but they're okay. But Muse have headlined a few times, three or four times or something. And Adele's headlining for the first time this year. And Muse have said they'd like Adele to join the band on stage for a track during their headline on Friday, so she's not too nervous for the Saturday gig.
All right, okay.
So, because she's not good with big crowds, is she? Or she wasn't previously.
Well, she better get used to it.
Well, she'll have to at Glastonbury. So, I mean, what would you think to that? Matt Bellamy and Adele smashing one out. You'd love that, wouldn't you? Would it be the worst thing in the world for you?
It would be interesting, especially knowing it would be interesting to see what song they did.
Maybe they do
Matt Bellamy doing a version of Hello would be very.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe they'd do a version of one of Adele's tracks.
Yeah,
can't see Adele singing Muse, can you?
You never know. There's been weirder kind of mashups that people have done.
Yeah, I remember when they had a concert for Diana to mark the anniversary, Tom Jones did a cover of Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
And that was...
Was that the Diana one or was it the Jubilee one?
It was Diana.
Oh, right.
I'm sure it was. And then I think Arctic Monkeys did a cover of a Shirley Bassey number.
All right. I can't
remember. Oh, I think it was Diamonds Are Forever. I don't know what that one was for. That might have been Glastonbury, actually.
Yeah, I think it was Glastonbury. It was when they had the 0114 on the drums at Glastonbury.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So, but they're on about moving Glastonbury, I think, for the next one. Normally they give it a rest every 3, 4, 5 years or something.
Yeah.
To let the ground recover, and I think he's on about moving it.
Yeah, there's been talks of doing it kind of abroad or something, haven't they?
I don't know. I don't think that'd go down very well, would it?
I don't know. Like, people travel to, like, Coachella and, like, that Belgium festival, punk pop and stuff like that. So,
have you ever been to Glastonbury?
I haven't, no. It's one festival I've never been to.
I wanted to go when you two were headlining. It was a good job I didn't, because he did his backing that year, and then they headlined the year after.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He's always getting injured, Bono.
Not enough.
If oh dear, he came off his bike in New York, didn't he, and smashed all his face in.
Did he? Oh shit!
Yeah, not a fan of you two either. Then
I
like you
I like their older stuff, but since kind of the mid-90s onwards, they've just been very nondescript and rubbish, haven't they?
Well, I obviously disagree because I like them very much. Did you not think Pop was a good album?
Pop was all right. I think the last half-decent tune I did was Discotheque.
That was on Pop?
Yeah.
Yeah. 97, I think?
About that, yeah. That was a year I was really into kind of like Depeche Mode and stuff like that, so Discotheque kind of fit into that kind of vibe.
I think they've done well because they've always sort of changed their sound, haven't they? Rather than stayed the same.
They'll never reach the heights of Joshua Tree and Rattle and Hum and stuff like that.
I didn't really like Rattle and Hum. I didn't like all that feel. No.
I like it.
I like the new album.
Did a cover of Helter Skelter on Rattle and Hum, didn't
they? Yeah. Yeah, I like the new album that was forced on everybody's iPhone, whether you wanted it or not. I thought that was great.
That's on my iPhone still, and I've not even heard a track from it. I couldn't tell you what's on it.
Well, you should listen to it. Anyway, in fact, we could probably play it because we can plug my phone in because we've worked out how to do it now. We're not going to, though.
If we're plugging anything in and playing anything, then I've got some bros for you.
Well, we've also got some Our Saving Day. Now, we originally saw these at the... Well, I originally saw them at the local authority room in Corporation when we went to see October Drift and Slow Readers Club. What's this one called, James?
This one is Kings.
Takes a while to kick in.
Yeah, it's Kings. These guys are playing real time live in Chesterfield on Thursday.
Oh, Ches Vegas.
Yeah.
There, get yourself down. This is Our Saving Day.
Too many times I
That was Our Saving Day.
Yeah, they've got some new stuff coming out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, their gig on Thursday, they're premiering some new stuff, and they've got a new EP coming out.
Are they on Spotify or anything like that?
I believe so. I've not actually looked for them on Spotify, to be fair.
But not on Facebook, though, aren't they?
Yeah, Facebook. Marvelous. There's all the SoundCloud, stuff like that.
All of those places.
Indeed.
Where are you on murals? You know, we had the daft Pat Sharp one that was supposed to be David Bowie.
Oh, murals. I wondered what... Yeah, murals, yes.
Well,
for some reason, it didn't connect in my head that mural was a thing for a second. I'm like, yeah, all right, mural.
Okay. Yes, they are. They are. Yes, they are real things. Well, there was... What's wrong with you? There was one in a wall on Sydney, right. And it was done by a guy called Scott Marsh, and he basically adapted a picture of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, and edited it so that Kanye was kissing himself.
Oh, right, yeah.
For the benefit of the radio, there's a picture of it.
Lovely.
His representatives. Have paid the guy that painted it $100,000 to remove it. So he's painted over it.
$100,000?
Yeah.
Blimey neck, I'm going to start painting Kanye everywhere.
Yeah, he obviously didn't like it. It's quite funny. It's not, you know, it's not offensive or anything.
I think there's a meme been going around the internet of him kind of loving himself, as he obviously does.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a play on that, I guess.
That's a good idea. Somebody just said, can you tweet it? Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll do that now.
Yeah, tweet the pictures, Luke. Gosh.
Oh, it's not working. Oh. Why is it saying that? Share a link. Oh, I've got to log in and everything. Oh, God. That's why I don't bother with it.
Just save the pictures to your phone.
Well, I wish I'd done that now.
Good.
Oh, yeah, Ray, just tweet the picture.
Yes. Oh, my God, now you've broken your phone.
Great radio, this. Yeah. Carry on talking, James. Hold on.
Yeah, so Kanye West is a genius, isn't he? He's an absolute legend genius.
No, I don't think so. But the guy that painted the thing, he said he also wants a lifetime supply of Kanye's Yeezy Boosts. Now, those trainers, those are the trainers that he's...
I genuinely don't know, but yeah, Yeezy Boost, what a name.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think, I mean, would you have, I'm tweeting it now, would you have had this removed?
For $100,000.
Oh, God, yeah. No, but if you were Kanye West, would you think, God, that's so offensive to my eyes?
No, it's not that bad. It's
a bit really
fun.
Well done. He's obviously a good artist. There's loads, it's on a street where there's loads of murals, so it's not like he's just found a wall somewhere. It's like a special street.
Although it is Kanye West, and got a copyright strike on YouTube from Kanye West. So
who did?
Me.
You? Why?
Yeah. Because there was some Kanye West music in the background of a video that I did.
What, that you happened to be playing while making a video?
Yeah.
Just incidentally?
Yeah, it was in the background, and then it went on YouTube. It had been on there for about 3 years, and then Kanye West put a copyright claim in all his people. And then, sorry, Neil, I'm not going to give a shout out to Bruce Forsyth.
I didn't know what was going on there. Carl Malone is texting, tweeted in, whatever. He says, I like it.
What does he like?
That picture I've just tweeted.
Oh,
of the mural.
I thought he was liking Bruce Forsyth.
Why do you want a shout out for Bruce Forsyth?
Because Neil's bizarre. Unless Brucey is the latest victim of the 2016 obituary.
Well, I was thinking that. He can't have long left, can he?
No.
He's old. Is he 90 yet, Bruce?
Probably. He's probably 190 by now, isn't he?
No, it just seems like that because he's been on telly for so
long. If he has passed away and we don't know about it, then this is probably the most offensive thing that we've ever done.
He It's just Neil tweeting from his thousands of accounts.
Yeah.
Bruce Forsyth.
Bruce Forsyth was too unwell to attend Ronnie Corbett's funeral.
Yeah, so he's not. Yeah, he's 88. But only recently.
Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, we're now being bombarded with tweets about Bruce Forsyth.
Thanks. Oh, dear. Well, we could get an injunction, couldn't we?
We could, yes.
But then we wouldn't be able to talk about it.
Yeah. We can say categorically that the people involved in the injunction are not Bruce Forsyth. It does not involve Bruce Forsyth.
If we listed everybody that's not involved, it'd take a very long time. But yeah. Would that be allowed in the eyes of the law? Oh, no, because you're not allowed to mention the injunction anyway, are you?
Well, I think it's been downgraded. I think it was a super injunction.
Now it's just an injunction. So you can acknowledge the injunction, but not. Okay.
What you can also do is just state how utterly ridiculous these injunctions are.
Yeah. Well. Well, we did say we were going to keep the story musically related, which this one is. We just can't say how that they are.
You're not even allowed to say that.
Oh. Well, they're not. Well, I can't mention music on a music show.
You can't give away. You can't give hints.
Well, that wasn't a hint. You've given a hint.
You just broke the law.
Well, you have as well.
How?
Because you're acknowledging the hint that I may or may not have given. An alleged hint.
No, I'm saying you can't give hints.
I didn't. I'm going to prison. Anyway. Yeah, what we're saying about injunctions, they are ridiculous because they only exist in England and Wales, don't they? Or yeah. they only hold any ground in England and Wales.
Yes.
So in Scotland, Ireland and the rest of the world, they can be reported on.
Indeed.
So it doesn't work. Well, it works on paper because the newspapers can't report it.
Just one very quick internet search will uncover who this is all about. Apparently. Allegedly.
Because people, reporters in foreign countries where the injunction doesn't hold any ground can report.
It's been front page news in other countries, allegedly. So yeah, it's just out there. It's just ridiculous.
But it's pointless. That's the real issue.
We can say that it's been set up. Apparently, the reasoning behind the injunction is so that any children that may be involved in this in the family. Are protected from it, but again, it's all around the world. The children will likely see the internet, and it will be there. Are you still laughing at Bruce Forsyth, who was not involved in the injunction,
allegedly?
Yeah, there's a picture of Bruce Forsyth and Mary Berry on your phone, and I can categorically say that it isn't Bruce Forsyth and Mary Berry.
Yeah, and Carl's put, you never see these two in the same room, ever.
It's uncanny, isn't it?
It's very similar.
She is the female Bruce Forsyth. Wonder if she can tap dance.
Can Bruce Forsyth still tap dance? Although he did do a very credible version of Gangnam Style a few years ago.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, you told me about this. I've missed this. This is something that...
I thought I was dreaming or something, because it was really bizarre. Strictly Come Dancing opened up, and everybody, and I mean everybody, did Gangnam Style, and I was like, this is bizarre.
Your first mistake was watching Strictly Come Dancing.
Well, I don't. It was just on. I switched it off.
Your second mistake was watching it when they did Gangnam Style.
Well, I couldn't switch off then, because I thought... Is this really happening?
I think that does have to be seen. I shall be YouTube searching for that later. Yeah, the injunctions. Speaking of other celebrities of, you know...
Injunction fame?
Not injunction fame.
Are we moving away from injunctions?
Yeah, it's probably for the best because I will likely slip up and say something that I don't mean to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about elder statesmen and things like that who may or may not be involved in injunctions.
Allegedly.
This one definitely isn't. Terry Wogan apparently spoiled Eurovision, says the producers of this year's Eurovision.
Did he?
Apparently.
I thought that's the only reason anybody watched it.
Yeah, the late Terry Wogan apparently spoiled it by mocking the acts.
Well, that was the whole part of that was what made it funny.
Yeah, well, apparently Britain doesn't take it seriously, and that's why Britain isn't any good in Eurovision anymore, because we don't take it serious because Terry Wogan made it kitsch and irrelevant and mocked
it. What influence can Terry Wogan have on the rest of Europe? Because the rest of Europe have got their own voiceover people doing it. They don't know what Terry Wogan's saying until after the event.
Yeah, indeed. But because he did it for kind of 25 years, I think... sorry, I've just seen that picture. you need to retweet that.
That is really something.
That's an alarming picture of...
Bruce Forsyth.
Bruce's chin.
Well, he's...
With no nose.
Neil Hargreaves. Has cut part of his face out. What were we saying? Injunctions?
No, we moved on.
Terry Wogan, sorry. Yeah, I don't see how that can have any influence on the rest of Europe because the acts are performing seriously, and we pick our entrant. So,
yeah, I think it means that it's been made a mockery of in Britain, rather than just in Europe, and that's because we know
you can see what happens because all of the neighbouring countries in Europe vote for the neighbouring country or whatever, and they give the maximum points around who's closest.
That's kind of my point. Eurovision kind of made a mockery of itself the first place,
and all Terry Wogan were doing, we're acknowledging it. They'd be like, oh, 12 points, what a surprise.
Although there's also the argument, like everybody says it's political voting, there's also the argument that a neighbouring country is more likely to appreciate that neighbouring country's music
because
than anybody else.
It's similar culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think that's a relevant argument personally, but it's an argument.
I like Eurovision. Our friends have a Eurovision night every year and we, have a laugh.
Yeah.
We don't take it seriously because it's not really a serious thing, is it? Supposed to be light-hearted. It's not like life or death, is it?
The thing is, I think every other European country sees it differently to us. I think that all the other European countries take it seriously, whereas we don't. I think that's what the point this guy was making.
Yeah, but it's not really Eurovision anymore, because Australia are in it.
Well, yeah. Although Australia are apparently pulling out next year to do their own Eurovision, or Asia Vision, they're going to do.
Australasia Vision. Well, it's just going to be them and... New Zealand?
No, I think it's called Asia Vision, and it's like...
China,
Bangkok and Malaysia and all those kind of things. So they're basically copying the format, and they've joined Eurovision to do it for a couple of years to see how it works, and then...
Well, that's going to be interesting.
Getting off.
Because, Europe aren't too dissimilar, but I would imagine the music culture in Australia will be very different to the music culture in China.
Yeah.
In Malaysia, you would think, wouldn't you?
Well, definitely between China and Australia.
Oh, yeah, it's bound to be, isn't it?
Yeah. And Japan, imagine like Japanese pop.
Well, if you're listening in Japan and you're in a band, send us some in.
Yeah.
We'll play it. It's been a bit of a slow music week for the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah.
A lot of bands are releasing tracks in the next few weeks, so we
should. Yeah, it's no good for us. More. Send them to us. We can play it before it's released. Pre-release, play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, talking of music, we've got Halcyon on next, James.
Yes. This is their debut tune. They supported Connor Houston at Ledmore recently. And this one's called Minerva Street. And I like it.
Awesome. Tweet us in. Neil, stop tweeting us in. Everybody else, please tweet us in. At The Squeak on Twitter. This is Halcyon.
Take me to Minerva Street then, Luke.
I don't know where it is.
It's somewhere.
Okay, we'll go after this. We are getting now officially bombarded by photoshopped images of of Bruce Forsyth. Retweet that one as well, that's a good one.
There's some legendary ones on here. The face swap between Bruce, Berry and Mary Forsyth.
As the now known.
Yeah, that's...
I mean,
classic one.
It's interesting because we still use terminology that he used to use in his shows. Like, you'll say, oh, that's a Brucey bonus,
yeah.
Don't you? And he's not done, what was that in Bruce's Price is Right? He hasn't done that since, like, the 90s. What do you remember? Don't retweet that one. What do you remember him from when you were little watching Bruce Forsyth? Because he did Generation Game
for a while, yeah.
Yeah, my version of that was Jim Davidson. When he was a BBC television personality, he did Big Break and that, didn't he?
Yeah, before he got struck off TV for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Generation Game, Price is Right.
I like Price is Right. He did Play Your Cards Right as well.
Yes, that's right, Play Your Cards Right. I was going to say Blankety Blank, but he didn't do that for a while, did he?
Didn't do that at all.
No.
But
yeah, Brucey. And then obviously Come Dancing and Strictly Come Dancing.
Mm. But he's definitely not dead, so we'll save all this. Paying homage to Brucey. But yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, but Neil's photoshopping Bruce Forsyth into everything.
Neil has too much time on his hands.
Well, you can tell he's back now.
Yes, he's been away for a few weeks.
Been on tour with October Drift.
It's been nice and peaceful. He's come back and ruined everything.
Do you think we'll see a return of Roger the Imposter?
Maybe so. I reckon we should do a
phone in.
Yeah,
we do a phone in and see who rings us up.
Roger the Imposter was a classic. If you don't get the reference, then listen back on the podcast to
the 2-hour special with Neil Hargreaves. Yeah, the two hour special.
It was about the fifth episode we did or something, I think.
Well, I can't remember.
It was a funny one. So, technological advances, Luke, whilst you're laughing at Bruce.
That's another one we can't retweet.
I've just seen that. Yeah. Yeah, we're not retweeting that. Yeah, technological advances. Right.
Yeah, love them. Photoshop.
No, I was amazed this week, and my other half, Rachel, she doesn't get how amazing this is, but SpaceX sent a rocket into space to the International Space Station with supplies, an unmanned rocket that got to the space station, got some supplies, then came back unmanned and automatically docked itself, landed on an unmanned boat, which was also just a robot intelligence. How amazing is that?
He's very clever. How did he do that then?
They've been testing it for the last few years, and it's the first time that it's ever happened successfully. There's been a few.
I was going to say, yeah, because things move, don't they? Yeah.
But if you see the video of it, it's amazing. Just the rocket just coming from space, like just straight down and just landing on a boat barge in the middle of the sea.
Unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Amazing.
Well, something I saw this morning on the news, a famous trainer company have perfected 3D printing for trainers.
All right.
Yeah, they cost like £300 a pair, so. But it's obviously because it's new technology, but it's like, I mean, I don't really understand how it works, 3D printing.
It's kind of like, is it a silicone-y kind of thing that hardens up and it just draws lines and builds it up?
Pretty much, yeah. It's I can't get my head around it.
Is it, again,
it's very
amazing.
Very clever.
But yeah, this rocket lands, and I got the video, I showed it to Ray, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this is the first unmanned craft that's gone to space, come back and landed on its own, unmanned, with no kind of intervention whatsoever, on another automated vehicle. And Rachel was like, not impressed. She's like, she says, come back to me when they've made a toaster that can butter the toast for you.
Yeah.
Says, can send all this into space and my toaster can't butter my toast.
Yeah, but toasting butter. Buttering toast is not too strenuous, is it?
It is the height of laziness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wanting the toaster to butter your toast for you.
The only thing that annoys me is when the butter is really hard and you end up just destroying the toast trying to spread. You know, when you get spreadable butter, which is in no way spreadable, you just end up destroying your toast.
Yeah. Proper butter.
Mm. Because if you wait for the butter to soften up, the toast was cold.
Well, soften it up before you put the toast in.
Yeah, but I always forget. I always forget.
Get a hot knife.
That doesn't work, does it?
Like the saying goes, like a hot knife through butter.
Mm.
No?
No.
Okay.
Just get better butter. Anyway, yeah. Should we have another song before?
Yes.
Before the next
last song
story.
Friends of the show, they've sent us some stuff in before. This is Adelphi.
Adelphi. No, that's not the Royal Standard, is it? They're Velcro teddy bears.
Velcro teddy bears are the Royal Standard, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, get in touch on Twitter, at The Squeak. You listen to 93.2 FM, just coming up to 3:15.
Said you're a lip-biter, tongue-twister, hip-shaker, and we can't get enough of you. Kill me, but I still wouldn't laugh at your joke. And every word you say, it's just another lie you already told. You spent your nights thinking why'd you live alone. Well, it's the bad things that you do. Lip biter, tongue twister, hip shaker, and we can't get enough of you. Dictator, soul taker, mind drifter, we'll be glad when you are done. Don't look at me and pity your eyes so desperately. I'm pretending I'm the only taste that will satisfy. I can see that you've got dreams of a silver screen. Put your morals open easily. Lip biter, tongue twister, hip shaker, and we can't get enough of you. Dictator, soul taker, apple's been bitten on, but the poison's been sucked in. Since you're a chair, it's going strong.
So we've actually had a sensible tweet from Neil.
Shocker.
Yeah, he's said about that song, that Adelphi song is a Sheffield classic now. The harmonies on it are great. Ollie King and Matt Longdon are tops, which is genuinely true. Good lads.
Yeah, very good.
I think they've just announced 2 gigs for Tramlines, one of which is the Frog and Parrot, I think.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Is that a Carmel? Oh, no, it's Tramlines. Carl's not putting anything on for Tramlines, is it?
No, he's doing a pre-Tramlines gig, I've seen.
So
like in build up, but yeah, he's enjoying Tramlines himself this year.
Yeah, can't fault him.
Not that he enjoyed it last year, seeing as he went away and missed it all. Booked his holiday for the wrong weekend, didn't he?
Oh,
numpty.
Yeah.
So you got another story for us then?
Yeah. Well, just on Carl, he was having a rant to me the other day because Dion Dublin's now doing Homes Under the Hammer, and he doesn't like him. Do you like Homes Under the Hammer?
I try and avoid daytime television whenever I can. I've seen it a couple of times. I can't say I've seen it with Dion Dublin on it. But.
Yeah, I like it. Well, when he retired from football, he sort of went into property development. So he's now co-hosting on that. Some like him, some don't. Carl doesn't. I think he's all right. Now, obviously, you'll have grown up with pranks, I would imagine.
Of course,
being Neil Hargreaves' little brother.
Usually as a subject of them, yeah.
Well, exactly. Now, if you received... Yeah, I've seen... Oh, sorry, I mean, this chair lets itself down on its own. If you've... Yep. I've lost my train of thought
pranks.
Completely. Pranks, yeah, sorry. If you've ever been on the receiving end of a prank call, then, you know, you can empathise with this. Staff in Burger King in a certain branch in America.
I've seen this, and this is genius. I wouldn't condone anybody doing this prank, but if you did, which I wouldn't condone, it is quite a funny one.
Allegedly.
It's like...
Well, let me explain.
Yeah, how stupid are these people? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I know, I agree. I don't think the prankster's at fault here at all. Well, so, no, they are. A caller was claiming to be a member of the area's local fire department, sorry. And he called and said that there was a gas leak. So what the people inside the Burger King decided to do was smash all of the windows.
Yeah, they were instructed to let the gas out.
Yeah.
By this apparent fire chief.
Yeah.
On the end of the phone.
I mean, if there's a gas leak, just open the doors. Just open the doors.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's not like, oh, you know, let's smash every... Because, I mean, it's not like a brick construction. It's all glass. So they smashed every single window. There's a video on YouTube where they're smashing all the windows. I mean, it's a bit far-fetched, that, isn't it? Has nobody got any common sense to say, hold on a minute, let's just open the doors, even if you believe in the first place that the fire department's ringing you up? How can they detect you've got a gas leak
just,
from all
you
that?
You just open the doors and evacuate, don't you?
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were convinced by a prankster on the phone. Apparently this has happened in a few different American states.
Really?
Yeah. And they must have done hundreds of calls to get one or two places to do it. But there's two or three places apparently that have smashed the windows out because they've been instructed to on the phone. Which is amazing. I just can't... unbelievable stupidity.
I couldn't believe it. I had to include that today because I just thought, you know, where's your common sense?
Yeah. Well, I saw a story about, you know, the Five Guys burger restaurant chain.
Oh, yeah, I've still not been yet. Yeah. I really want to go.
And in Washington, D.C., there was a guy who, on CCTV, was found breaking into a Five Guys restaurant. And they've nicknamed him the Hamburglar because...
Very clever.
Some trademark kind of thing there with McDonald's, isn't it? But yeah, he broke into a Five Guys restaurant. What do you think he did when he got there?
Made himself some food.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'd do.
He didn't steal anything other than he got a burger out of the freezer, put the hot plates on, made himself a burger, and then left. So now there's a manhunt on in Washington, D.C. for the Hamburglar.
That is a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Just strange. Apparently a delivery truck turned up, delivered some stuff, and he followed them in, and they left, and he just made himself some food. Which, to be fair, at the prices of Five Guys, then it's probably the only way of getting something for a meaningful amount.
I don't understand why you would break into a restaurant to make yourself some food.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is amazing. Have you ever seen Impractical Jokers? This has just come up.
Oh yes, no, I have. They wear an earpiece, don't they?
Yeah,
an earpiece. Don't know what happens. An earpiece, and then they're telling them what they have to do.
Yeah, but one of the challenges on that I saw recently was the guys going into, you know, in America those frozen yogurt places are really popular. And they went into a frozen yogurt place and they pile up all the frozen yogurt and all the bits, like all the stuff that goes on top, and it's to get the most yogurt for the least amount. So they go to the till, like the checkout, and they're like, oh, that's $9.83. And they're like, oh, no, that won't do. So they just scoop it out with the hands and start eating it, and they're going, like, re-weigh it now. Weigh it again. And it's like, well, that's $5. And they get away with it.
Really?
Yeah. It's like one guy got a whole bucket of this yogurt just because they obviously can't put it back or anything. So,
oh, yeah.
So he'd emptied out his pocket, and he's like, oh, I've got 13 cents. Put it on the thing, and they're like, well, I'm just going to have to take that, aren't I? because I can't do anything else with that.
I mean, we've all done it with pick and mix where you've had like a sweet out of the pick and mix. No. Nobody's ever done that.
No, nobody's done that, no.
Come on, you must have done with pick and mix. I mean, I haven't, but I bet some people have, allegedly.
Do you remember the old Woolworths pick and mix? And
yeah.
I remember being in Woolworths once and...
I love the smell of pick and mix.
Yeah, the pick and mix was right next to all the CDs. And I used to go in and like look at the CDs and...
Pick and mix inside the CD?
No. I remember this one time being there. And there was this fella who had like a baby in a pram next to him. And he was looking at the CDs next to me. And I looked around and just saw this baby in the pram. And it's just had its hand in the pick and mix.
Oh,
and just
God.
Pulling stuff out and stuffing its face whilst his dad was at the side, completely oblivious.
I always thought pick and mix were a bit of a con, because if you buy the good stuff, it's expensive. If you buy the rubbish stuff like Flumps and Flying Saucers,
it's
still not cheap, is it?
No, of course it's not. It's ridiculous.
I don't know why they've still got them, because so many people must just steal from the pick and mix.
Because of the profit margin, that's all.
Well, yeah.
It goes by weight, and obviously they stick loads of heavy things in and get a big profit margin.
I remember when pick and mix used to be cheap. You could get like...
Really?
Yeah. You could get, well...
I remember when you used to go to like your local
news agents yeah.
and you'd get like a 10p mix-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd probably get like 10 sweets in there, not like...
Well, I can remember the days of the halfpenny, and you used to get halfpenny sweets, yeah. Remember like Mojos and Blackjacks and stuff like that, they used to be half a pence each.
I remember Blackjacks and fruit salads.
Yeah.
Do they still go in then?
Yeah,
are they?
You can still get Blackjacks.
Are they any good though? Everything's smaller and not as well made as it used to be, is it?
Yeah, I had some a couple of years ago Blackjacks and they tasted just the same, I guess. But is everything smaller?
Sorry, I've just seen another one. Neil Hargreaves has just tweeted another Bruce Forsyth one in. Oh, that tickled me. I'm not retweeting that one. Can I retweet that, James?
I've just retweeted it anyway.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Okay. I weren't sure if we'd be allowed if we'd get, like, taken into prison by the Queen.
I can't believe that we've allowed Neil to make this the Brucey Hour.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a music show, this.
Apparently.
It used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's no longer.
At one time it was.
Well, if you want to stay tuned and listen to some music, then DJ Ski's up at 3 with Platinum Plate. He's not here yet, but he's probably on the way in.
Yeah, he will be here. He will be on.
Yeah.
He runs in, sets up, and stands talking to us for a minute whilst the adverts on, and then manages somehow to play out.
I even give him extra time, but he uses that time talking to us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Nah, he's all right, though. He's a good lad. Always gives us a shout-out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I still remember when he said, what are your DJ names?
Yeah.
James and Luke.
Yeah, DJ names.
Oh, right. I know, yeah. What idiots we are. Have we got any gigs coming up, James, that we're interested in? There's No Hot Ashes playing.
Yeah, the next one is No Hot Ashes. It's a month away.
14th of May.
Yeah, it's a month away.
That's a Karl Maloney Presents gig, isn't it?
It is. No Hot Ashes and the debut gig. Of Factory Reasons.
Well, I've heard a noise, it could well be DJ Ski.
Factory Reasons will be an interesting thing to see how it turns out.
Well, it's, alright, it's John Joaquin's new set-up, but he's got a new vocalist, hasn't he? So he's stepping away from the vocals, so that'll be interesting.
Yes, hopefully doing a lot more on the production side.
Mm.
So yeah, it will be interesting to see how that turns out. He's got a full band kind of set up with that.
Absolutely. But yeah, we've got to go now, so we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.